You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The debate over the Conservation Amendment Bill has intensified in recent weeks, particularly after it was criticised by iwi and environmental advocates. The government has introduced the Te Here Anuku Nelson Tenths Bill to Parliament, which will enable the return of 3,000 hectares of land to its customary owners at the top of the South Island. And both Labour and National are down in the latest One News variant poll, with smaller parties rising. For politics with Marnie Dunlop of Te Ao Māori News, I have Marnie on the line to discuss these topics. Kia ora, Marnie. Firstly, it would be great if you could start by explaining the Conservation Amendment Bill and how it will change how conservation land is managed.
Kia ora, o tēnā tēnā tātou katoa. Yeah, so the Conservation Amendment Bill has, or the debate around it has, like you said, intensified, but it's been getting a bit fiery, to be honest, in the last kind of few days, especially with the Minister for Conservation, Tama Pōtaka, being quite defensive in his bill and arguing in support of his bill. So, you know, the government says their argument is the bill modernises conservation laws and will make it easier to deliver infrastructure, tourism and renewable energy projects on conservation land, and that the pockets in which will be part of that 60%, that could be what they call, is the language or jargon they use, as being disposed of, you know, like buildings that are sitting near unused, or little kind of landlocked little pieces of gravel, pockets of land that could be sold to the private owner. So that's their argument. But, you know, on the other side, and we've been seeing Forest and Bird come out quite strongly, Greenpeace with their interactive map around what particular parts of land this would look like, and obviously iwi and opposition parties, Green Party and Labour, being quite strong against it, and Te Pāti Māori. Their argument says that it opens the door to greater commercial use of those particular parcels of land, and also the concerns around mining. Because just for more context, you know, if you want to, if people want to mine on whenua and conservation whenua, they have to go through the conservation minister. So there's that layer there to kind of test it, because we currently have mining on conservation land under this government. But if those particular lands are disposed of, then there's no longer that blanket or that safeguard there. So today, though, a kind of new development in the conservation amendment space, the Greens have announced they would legislate to ban the sale of conservation land and strengthen protections if they were to be voted into government. And they, you know, continue the argument that government is viewing conservation land as an economic asset rather than a taonga. Again, like I said, Minister Pōtaka has been coming out quite strong, and calling it scandalous and mischievous for people to suggest that he's selling off big, large parcels of land. So, you know, there's also... But there's been massive public backlash. Of 50,000 people have signed a petition opposing this particular part of the amendment bill. And so, you know, it's becoming a bit wider around conservation. And I guess for the iwi lens as well, there are some potential iwi that, you know, could benefit around wanting to buy some of their land back. But also there are a lot of iwi who are worried around, you know, whether or not they would have first right of refusal to particular pockets of land, and what the safeguards there around mana whenua engagement. So in a complicated nutshell, Caden, that's kind of where we're at with the conservation amendment bill this week.
I'm really interested in that point about why iwi are concerned about it. Could this also have an impact on future treaty claims, for example?
Yeah, for sure, because, you know, obviously with a lot of settlements that have already passed, conservation land is a huge part of those particular settlements. You know, look at Tūhoe, and, you know, the conservation estate there is in Ngaitahu. And so, you know, with potential settlements being negotiated at the moment, you know, what is the safeguard within those particular negotiations of what the Amendment Act and the impact it could have on them? I put that question to Minister Pōtaka. I said, you know, these are the concerns that iwi have raised, and what are the assurances can you give around what those safeguards look like? And he argues that those safeguards are there and that it's not going to have an impact, and he claims that it's going to actually be more beneficial. But that's not necessarily concrete within the legislation. So again, around what that looks like, and they're open for submissions, and the submissions close on the 2nd of July, so this will go to Select Committee. So no doubt we'll see a lot of the narrative from and a lot of the views of iwi and members of the public around, you know, their views on this particular bill.
And I want to turn now to ask about the Nelson Tenths Bill. Could you explain the Te Here Anuku Nelson Tenths Bill, including, and I know there's over 100 years of history here, but could you summarise the land dispute that has led to the bill?
Yeah, so this is such a fascinating bill and litigation. And, you know, for this to be done under a national government is also really interesting. But just to kind of summarise, the bill, you know, it settles one of Aotearoa's longest running land disputes, which dates back to the 1840s. And it recognises generations of land loss after the Crown failed to protect that land that had been promised to Māori as part of the Nelson settlement, you know. So it was, they were promised a tenth of that, 10% of that particular land. That's why it's called the Nelson Tenths Trust. And so this is a landmark piece of legislation that was actually done under Judith Collins as the Attorney General. And again, the distinction around it not being a treaty settlement is really key, because it's around land litigation and viewed as a private issue because of there was a Supreme Court ruling that voted in favour of the Tenths Trust or Te Here Anuku. And as part of this package, a compensation or resolution, as they're labelling it, they're getting 3,000 hectares of their whenua are being returned and $420 million in financial compensation for the land that they can't return. What's really interesting is part of that, the land that has been returned is quite popular conservation land, separate to the Amendment Act. Don't get confused with that. It's conservation land with Able Tasman Park, Kai Tiri Tiri, Tōtara Nui. So for those, I know we're in the Auckland audience, but for those who have been down to the top of the South Island, they're pretty beautiful pieces of whenua. And so that's actually going to be going back into the hands of the Tenths Trust. Now, as part of this deal and the litigation around that, in 25 years, the Tenths Trust and the Mana Whenua will relook at or renegotiate what that access looks like and whose hands it'll stay in, because currently it'll stay in dock for the next 25 years, but that could potentially change. But the Trust has been very adamant that public access will not change. I just spoke to the chair or one of the trustees of the Trust who said, you know, in the Rohe and Whakatū, there's been massive, positive response to this particular litigation, and they've got really good relationships there to look forward around the prosperity. So the significant milestone for this particular legislation, it's going to have its first reading in Parliament today, and then so it has to become, obviously, a bill, but it has to become law. So after its third reading, then it'll be very clear around, you know, that $420 million, that 3,000 hectares, what that looks like for the future of the Rohe.
You mentioned it was interesting that this was coming under a national government, and I know Willie Jackson talked about how Labor had made attempts to negotiate on this, but why has it taken so long? What have been the barriers for previous governments, and why is it happening now?
So I asked Karenza, the trustee of the Tenths Trust, today about that particular point. And, you know, Labor, there were attempts by Labor to negotiate that, and that didn't happen for a number of reasons. And, you know, Willie has said, because it's a significant decision for a government to make, because $420 million, I mean, if you look at the broader kind of value of treaty settlements, although this isn't a settlement, but, you know, kind of in that context, if we were to look at it, it's almost a quarter of all settlements that have been made to date by the Crown, and that's looking at about 80 to 100 settlements. So this is a significant amount of money and land to be given back to Māori. And, you know, one of the comments made by the opposition has said, you know, isn't it interesting and ironic that what they call an anti-Māori government, in their words, is doing one of the most kind of significant settlements to return to Māori. But talking to Judith Collins at the time of the signing of the first announcement at the end of last year, and speaking to obviously Chris Bishop, who's now the Attorney General, for them in a national, kind of from a National Party viewpoint, it's a land litigation, and it's about private land and private ownership, and it's not about whether or not they're Māori. It's just it's a principled decision. And so that's how, and also from that view, that's what Tenths Trust, I'm sure, would have taken advantage of to say, well, based on your politics, you know, this is something that you should be getting across the line. And so it has meant that those negotiations were essentially expedited. But also you have to remember the Supreme Court decision last year, which was very, very strong, last year, about really strong in supporting their argument, the Tenths Trust argument.
And you said today is the first reading, but how long will this process take to become law?
Yeah, I mean, how long's a piece of string? Because there's a lot of things on the order paper, but they are planning on kind of heralding this through pretty fast. And, you know, with there's many things on the order paper of on the legislative agenda of this government, and obviously the election is coming up in November, and so they're going to have to get a lot of things through before September when the House rises. So they're hoping to get this through by September, hopefully.
Speaking of the upcoming election, in the recent One News Variant poll, both major parties were down while minor parties were up. Could you talk through these results quickly?
Yeah, for sure. So a really interesting poll, and, you know, based on TVNZ's previous polls, one of the lowest, that was the lowest in, I think, 30 years for their main parties. And so, and the Greens, saw Te Pāti Māori remained stable. ACT went down a little bit, and which has been kind of a trend in the last few polls that we've seen. But most interesting was the Opportunities Party, which is a party that has never got into government. They've always kind of been trying to get in there, but they were at about a 4.6% margin. So that's been quite an interesting part of that poll, and what a lot of the questions of the parties have been asked in Parliament this week of, you know, which side and who would work with the Opportunities Party, and whether they would or whether they wouldn't. But, you know, it's very good for the Opportunities Party in terms of edging towards that and good amount of press for them. But also, I guess, a really interesting aspect of the numbers of that poll, I think it was about 14% of people didn't know who they were going to vote for. And that's really significant. So, I mean, there are a lot of people who are undecided, which would obviously, you'd assume that margin would be the people who would vote for the, you know, the major parties, and they're unsure at the moment of what that looks like. And also just goes back to our, you know, our MMP structure within Aotearoa, and that these minor parties can be, you know, play a really big part in, you know, Te Pāti Māori potentially being a kingmaker if they can win their Māori electorates back. You know, that's a whole other kōrero, which I'm sure we'll talk about another day, Ewa. But, and also, obviously, Opportunities Party, if they keep on edging up, then they could be also in the same waka around being that kingmaker potentially.
I have so many more questions, and as you say, this could be a completely different kōrero, but I do want to finish by asking, based on the conversations that you're having at the moment in communities and in your role as a journalist, do you have any understanding of why the voters you're talking to are turning to minor parties?
I mean, I think it's... there's obviously a lot of analysis that could be done within that question, but I think, you know, there's a little bit of a disengagement or disheartenment with the leadership of both parties. And, you know, we've seen Labor come out with a few announcements, a few policy announcements, and you know, pretty much firing back at Labor and National firing back at each other is consistently what I see. Some of, you know, most of the press releases that are coming back is there, you know, with around them just kind of paying each other out. And so I think, based on my conversations, I think a lot of members of the public are kind of sick of that. People are struggling to put food on the table. People are struggling to pay the bills. I mean, they're not too worried about the shots being fired at other political parties. You know, they want to know what's going to serve them and what's going to benefit our whānau at the end of the day. And so that's what people are looking for. And they're finding that in those policies from those minor parties are the conversations I'm having. So in a nutshell, I'd say, you know, that's probably the crux of why we're seeing this particular trend.
Kia ora. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Ahoa. I really appreciate it. That was Marnie Dunlop on the Conservation Amendment Bill, the Nelson Tenths Trust Bill introduction and first reading today, and the recent One News Variant poll.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.